So have you practiced Buddhism?
A little bit. Yeah, trying to practice every day.
Every day, that's good.
The way I am, hopefully.
Oh, that's good.
To a degree.
Yeah, so this is the way to be practiced. Just like practice something like food.
Mm-hmm.
We can eat every day. It's practice, the spiritual practice, because you have edible food, we digest through our mouth. We have spiritual practice. It's also a food for us too. And so edible food is just only one part of our life, one part of the practice. So I think in our life, everybody have some kind of spiritual practice. What religion you are. So there is many food in our life that we can digest. So in coming to the practice, so we make it as a part of food that we digest. So today I have four things I would like to share, and in this class I try to build one thing after another. So one from the foundations, and two different from we work from the bottom to the top. So we are studying the. Right now, we try to wrap it up. We finished studying the 8-pole path, and we try, and maybe next week we will go into interdependent co-horizons. So today, four things I want to share. First thing, I want to share my insight of practice suffering. And the second thing is we will wrap up the 8-pole path. And the third thing is I will ask you a question. Yes, you have to ask questions sometimes, and once in a while we'll ask you a question, and because after I finish something, I have to ask you some question, how do you apply that, and then if you got stuck, then we can share, and so it's become something that is digestible, and if something is undigestible, then how can we do that together, so we don't waste our time. And the fourth thing is, last time people asked me to change Vietnamese, to train you to change Vietnamese. Change some of the name of the Buddha or the Bodhisattva. Think of that so we can practice together. And somehow you can share that with the Vietnamese communities. So the first point I want to share is my insight of practice suffering when I sit in meditations. Because all of us have some kind of suffering, and how we adjust. That suffering is up to us, and what kind of practice we are practicing. And this is practice is not limited, because we can look at one thing, and you can contemplate it, and then suddenly you come out the inside now, and you see, and you realize that objects, and how is that object related to your suffering. So I normally sit, I have a class window, and I sit. Face out the tree. This tree here is most my objects of practice meditation. So one day, last few days I sit and I was look at the tree, and I see how the tree. Some of the trees is like bending the wind, like blowing, and the tree have to bend itself so that it's not break. And sometimes the tree stands still, very still. And I was looking at the tree and I see some of the tree is suffering because the wind come, storm wind come, and sometimes snow falling and I have to be bent down, able to have the the endurance to bear the heavy of the snows. And endurance to bear the wind. And so I reflect on myself, there's certain capacities. Sometimes we have the capacities to endure our suffering, but sometimes we overwhelm our sufferings. And we go through a storm of suffering. You might go through difficulty with your partner, with your family members, with your children. So I look at the tree and I see, some of the trees have to stand a lot of pressure of the wind. And I say, how do the tree to get that kind of abilities, you know, endurance, strength? And how do we cultivate that strength in ourselves to go through different kind of storms in our life? So Steve earlier he asked me how to deepen his practice, and I think that question is Apple should ask, how do we deepen our practice? That's the question. That's general question. But each individual will take their own path to deepen that practice. So how do we nourish ourselves, and how does a tree nourish itself? Nutrition. You mean nutrition.
Bien mean to
transform, to change, to turn into, transform.
So that we can get the nourishment. More nutrition. Sometimes in our practice and we call more nutrition, malnutrition.
Malnourished.
Yeah. Malnourished. If we don't know how to practice it, and then we lack a kind of nutrition in the spiritual practice. So the tree have to, in a certain way, the tree have to get itself to get some kind of nutrition. So they receive a wind in such a way that able to make it turn that wind into something. And wind here is some difficulties and some pain. So turn that into. So as human, we have suffering, more or less, we have that. So how do we make that suffering into nutrition? That's the question. That's the question. So I ask myself that, because lately I have a lot of pressure from the Vietnamese community. And I don't let that express myself or pull myself out of practice. So I ask myself, how do I transform that oppression into nutrition and to strengthen myself? So I look at the tree and I ask that question. So Steve earlier here asked me that, and I said, I will share with you, because what I will share with you today. How do we change that suffering into the nutrition? The tree able to do that. You can see some, the more trust you put in the tree, the trust you put in the tree, you know, like when it, you know, you got a flower and the flower is fading, and you take that flower and you put it on the tree, right? And the tree somehow that transform that into nutrition to make it grow. So it's like trust. So the suffering is like trust. The pain, the afflictions, it's like trust. So the question is, as a practitioner, how do we do that? Just like a tree. And it's go through time. You go through tough time in your life. With your workers, with your children, with your partner. And how do we do that so that we can nourish ourselves, nourish the people around us, so that the communities or the group don't get obsessed or, you know, get chaotic. So the smart, the intelligent practitioner, how to ask that person to himself. So I look at the tree and I see that myself. But if we put too much trust in the tree, it can suffocate. Like, for example, you put a lot of trust around the root of the tree and the tree cannot breathe. They have to take air in. So the same thing, if you are over one, a certain, you have to know a limit of taking the suffering so that you're able to have the space to transform that. So I look at the tree and I see that if I put a lot of rocks, boulder on the tree, and the tree cannot breathe and it will die. That's too much. And the tree cannot have space to breathe. To take in the air and the sun. To do that. So the same thing if
we have a warm up of our suffering, we can die out slowly in fade down. Pain.
So the Buddha says not to run away suffering, but how to take in the suffering. And how much can you endure to take in?
How much you can endure to take in. So that you can turn that into something that
that support you on the practice. So the Buddha never run away from the suffering. You see how he's very skillful, very intelligent. He didn't put the suffering first in the form of truth. For us to contemplate. When I sit around and I can think about that. That's how we practice, how we contemplate around the suffering and how we manipulate, turn, you know, in certain ways so that we have the place and the space to breathe and able the time to work with our sufferings.
So turning to that, something that we call nutrition, or you can
boost up your motivations. Boost up your motivations.
And you, the tree that turned into nutrition, and then you turn that suffering into joy. How do you do that? So nutrition is like joy
in your heart. The tree make that suffering into
nutrition. We turn our suffering into joy.
Because the more you practice, you will encounter a lot of difficulty. A lot. Because when your mind is calm and you're able to see, and you're very sensitive to that suffering. Because all the suffering, when you don't practice, the suffering go in and into your store consciousness. And it's laid there, subconsciousness. And it's been there. And whenever have an opportunity, whenever the right conditions, as you will be surface yourself on the surface. So that's why many people come and say, the more I practice, the more I encounter a lot of difficulty. Because that is your progress. You're able to see that. You're able to bring the manifest that on the surface of it. So when you allow it to surface on the surface a lot, and you will overwhelm. So you have this certain amount that you're able to allow self on the surface, so that you're able to receive it, able to transform that, able to turn that into joy. And sometimes you get very boring on your practice. The more you practice, you can see that someday you are very depressed on your practice. You don't want it. That's okay. It's a natural process. So we practice like tree. So that's why when you're aware, and that's why the awakening, wherever they go, everything has become the object of practice. The object. You look at the leaf has become the object of practice. They see the impermanent, they see the sun, they see the sky, they see the cloud in the leaf right away. Or they look at the table, and everything becomes the object of the practice. And that's how is the miracle of the practice. But for example, the leaf, if we are not very skillful, they can cut the hand, our hand, and then it's become a painful, right? But sometimes a leaf can turn into medicine. So that's how the practice, miracle of the practice is. So when we look at your children, and the children become the object of practice, how do you practice so that your children can generate some joy? But if you don't, and you say your children can be an obstacle because they run away and they are very hyperactive. And then they say, oh, I've become crazy. Yes, and then and then your children become an object for you to become crazy. Right? But if you see their freshness in the eyes, you see they're healthy, then no longer then it's not become an obstacle.
We can't energy
So children can be an obstacle, but the children can be an obstacle to practice for you. And the same thing to tree. And how do you, from that, how do you turn? So the question is how skillful you are in your practice. How skillful you are in your practice. So that's what is the purpose of meditation. When you look at the object and see how can you turn that object in your practice. So every day, every morning I look at the tree, and every day I have something to practice with the tree. And I see the dead of the brain. I say, aha, my hair is falling. It's turning gray. So it's like dying. Part of myself, the cell is dying. So it's the same thing in the tree. But that dead brain we can turn into fire to heat ourselves. And you see many birds come to take refuge in the trees. And if you are practicing well, and many people come and practice and take refuge with you, the same thing with trees. So, when I look at trees, many different things coming up in the practice. Yeah. So whenever you encounter some kind of things, into the suffering, someone that you don't maybe don't like in your life. This can be an object for you to practice. And this can be a weakening for you, but it can be a strength for you. How can I turn that into strength? So it's the question to ask. So still ask me, how do I formulate my question? You can formulate a question beforehand, but it's right at that moment. Instant insights, instant question. And you ask yourself that way and you motivate yourself. Very motivative in the practice. And you never get bored. You practice that way because it's very fresh. The inside is kind of very fresh. And you never get bored. Sometimes you get bored, but from that boredom, then you turn that boredom into the practice. How can you do that? It's quite amazing. I look here sometimes, I'm alone, you know, many times. It can be turned into boring. Loneliness. Yeah, so that I want to show you how, after several questions, how can you turn your suffering into something that's making the nutrition into the choice? Is to ask yourself. It's very individual questions. So you can be healthy instead of ill or sickness. Because when we encounter suffering, we can become very easy to become ill mentally and spiritually, because both are interrelated. So when your mentality has become sick, it will be slowly your immune system will be getting weak. So don't let the suffering overwhelm you. And know how much can you take in the suffering. So the external environment, you can run away. You can, you can change. You know, because if that kind of external environment bring you a lot of suffering, then you say, it's overwhelming. So you have to, to change the environment yourself. So that you can boost your energy up. So once your energy is up, then your immune system is up also. You see how much is your energy is interrelated with your immune system. You see that around this time a lot of people got flu, but if your immune system is strong, and then you're much better. You have a better chance not to catch the flu.
So, any have any sharing on this suffering?
Suffering is talking endlessly. You can share a lot of insights from suffering. That's
45 years of the Buddha talking about suffering, because he have immeasurable insight about suffering. And okay, so the next one I want to talk is to wrap up the Eightfold Path. Last time I have one question, one sutta. But your research, I think, is very helpful. So, I ask you a question now. You have to... This is memorizing. It's not something that you have to very contemplate. So what is the first Four Noble Truth? You have to be able to list eight.
What is the first one?
Right view.
Matt. Understanding?
No. Right speech or something?
Right thinking, right thought.
Right speech, all that.
This category is terminology. So what is help if you're able to
remember it? Right speech? Number three or four.
Yes.
Speech?
Right speech.
Okay. Action?
Mm-hmm.
Action?
Actions. Right.
Livelihood, right livelihood.
Lisa, sixth one.
Concentration. That later.
Yeah.
A little help.
Feed yourself.
Effort.
Understanding.
Effort.
Yeah. Effort. I remember as
in Vietnamese.
Write
it in Vietnamese.
Okay. What is next?
Mindfulness.
And last one is Lisa.
Concentration.
Yes. So this eight is very, it's the backbone of Buddhism. So that's why it's good to memorize it, you know, say something like that. You say, what is the backbone of Buddhism? So you know it's the right way. This eight, because also eight limbs, you know, eight limbs. And the Buddha had been taught all this for 45 years, even the last moment of his life. There's one student come and ask him, 80 years old man, but in the heart of the Buddha, Tsiong say the right young man, but normally in tradition they say it's 80 years old man, come and ask him for ordinations. And he asked, is there any enlightened being in the cities, you know, Kusala cities or Magadha cities. And the Buddha says it's not the right moment to act. It's the right moment, and then this is the right moment for, and he bring up this is what you should practice. The other enlightened being is not very important to you as this. Practice. Yeah, he's very practical. As last moment in his life, I can tell you many other people enlightened, but it's not related to your life. How is that other people enlightened can be helping you? So this is what you should practice in his last moment in life, the Buddha tell Subhadda. And so the Buddha said that when you come to the practice, you have to ask the right question to change your life. Don't ask some wasting question. So that's what. So, and there's another, so from, this is called also eight limbs. From others. Do you know any other tree trainings? We call tree, in Vietnam we call Tam Bo Lo Ha. Call three unconditioned Christian trainings. Tam Bo Lo Ha. Bo Lo here is unconditioned. So have to be born from this tree. First is thinking, and right view and right thinking is what? Insight. And this is mindfulness. See the mindfulness here, and then now in the tradition they call sila. Sila means yai. here means sila, but later this sila, they translate into mindfulness. So it's easy for the Westerns to receive, because they're afraid of sila, of precept.
Oh.
It's called precept. But now it's translated into mindfulness. Mindfulness. What's the next one? Mindfulness. This one we call in tradition they call meditation. But now it's called concentration. So before I learned like inside precepts and meditation. But now it's called insight, mindfulness, and concentration. So this actually is a terminology, so it's easy, you know, as long as someone able to receive it and practice it. Because when you meditate, you have to have concentration. So that's why they relate now to concentration. So this tree we call Dhambola, tree unconditioned training. And from this, they branch into this. So this is also the backbone of the Buddhists. So every time we offer the incense to the Buddha, we say this, Jai Den Dui. So this is just this lay out the structure, so you can see how the branch out. And later it's elaborate into. And right view is here. You have to understand the Four Noble Truths. Right view on the Four Noble Truths. Sufferings, the making of sufferings. So suffering, the making of suffering, or the origin of the suffering, and the path leading to transformation, and cessation. So, I believe you have to understand that. But then we can go further on detail, you know, to explain the fourth note too. So I just want to see you, let me know how this relates to that. So the right view is really the right view on the fourth note too. So you see how very interconnected the teaching of the Buddha is. So the right intentions, or right thinking. So sometimes they call right thinking is called right intention too. So relate to Four Noble Truths. So the right thinking or intentions. Intention, the which intention of renunciation.
So what's the difference between view and thinking?
View and thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a good question. So what do you think?
I don't think it's that different.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's interdependent.
Mm, sure.
It's kind of the same to me. I mean, if thinking is my view, I mean, my thoughts is what my view is of the world to me. I don't know.
Right view and right thinking.
Maybe intention then helps.
Yeah, I think intention is to be more, it's easy, not confusing.
No.
Less confusing.
Cheat sheet.
Just sit. Right intention.
Yeah, intention is, you know.
Intention is very important, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
In the practice in our life. Like. So this is very important, intention. So when you create karma, it's very related to here. When your intention is to, you have the intention to do the action, then different karma than the unintention.
Yeah, intention is better than thinking, because thinking is not necessarily intention.
Yeah,
I don't think so. It's more view. Mm-hmm.
More
I mean,
view,
to
yeah.
me.
Yeah. So I think it's, yeah.
Right intention. So this is right intention, renunciation. And renunciation of what? We ask ourselves, renunciation of what? And many things that we renunciations, we leave behind our renunciation affliction. And there's many afflictions and many obscurations. And the important in Buddhism is renunciation of desire. Thus is the Buddhist in Buddhism when they say renunciation is renunciation of sensual desires.
And intention of good will, you know, good heart.
This is mean you do the wholesome things. Wholesome.
And harmlessness or non-violence. So that's what you intention to do,
not to intend to harm anybody. Good will, you do generosities, you know, and many ways that you can do generosity, you have way that you can do good will, good heart.
Then you write speech. So you have to practice
loving speech. So you abstain yourself from false speech, or you false speech here, that means you have to do the applications or practice the loving speech. And you abstain yourself from slanderous speech, you know, harsh speech, and ego chatter, you know, you don't sit around and chat. Something that's why you come to a practice center and you don't sit around and waste your time on ego chatter. Because during the time of the Buddha, and then many his disciples sit around and do that and ego chatter. And the Buddha say that you shouldn't do that. Instead, it's a time. And when you come together, you should share your practice. Share your practice here, you can share your joys, but at the same time, share your difficulty. Discuss about that, not just sit around and talk about politics or, you know, some others. Gossip, some other monks. Yeah. And some monks, they sit around, they gossip other monks. Monks. So because all this, the Buddha teaches, because mostly he was surrounded by monks and nuns. And sometimes, you know, monks, they gossip, you know, other monks, you know, like, practice well, you know, do other things, and nuns, and things like that. So the Buddha said, yeah, you shouldn't do that when you get in together. And you don't use your harsh speech to other monks, you know. And you hate some monks or nuns, mostly that's the time of the Buddha. But now we have a communities, lay communities. Come and you come and you chatter. Other people's gossip, other people's trust. And a lot of people do that, you know. It's easy, you know. It's fun. To gossip other people's stuff. To bring a little trust in your consciousness. And so it's fun, but that's why, you know, it's a habit. And when you just sit and pop out, you know, you say, oh, today, you know, so we all have that kind of tendency all the time. So we better say something is
beneficial for one yourself and for other people. Right speech, right livelihood. I have to remind myself in Vietnamese.
That's how I memorized when I was training. Oh no, it's the right accent. So right accent is referred to the when you take the five precept of the five trainings. Then you say right accents. First is you don't have to not take life. That's right accents. Take any people's life, or animal's life, tree's life. You know? We have their own life too. So, but when you take the tree's life, you don't see. It's you don't see. But they have light, and sometimes they mold like this. Mold with the tree.
Sap. Tree sap.
You can cut the tree and you see. You can see the tree saps. That's it's the blood. Human, we see the blood, but the tree, we can see the tree saps into that. But because normally we don't feel that as cruel as take as human life or animal life. You can see the blood, and because that we get used to that. And but for the tree, the sap is like the blood, and we don't see that. But when you have the right mindfulness, you can see that. Oh yeah, you can cut tree and the sap is coming out from the trees. So you take the life of the trees, because it's not moving. You know, the trees not moving like animal or human. So you don't see as devils as trees, and you prevent yourself from stealing. Also, it's the right accent. You know, stealing, and stealing here is many parts. You can take the time of other people. So stealing, right? but because you don't see that, and you know, if you sit there and you waste other people's time by gossiping, you steal other people's time, and sometimes we will have to stay and listen to you.
Can I ask you something, or shall I wait till later?
Sure.
Is about taking life? What about if, like, you put an animal down, an animal is suffering a lot. Now, is that considered kindness or unkindness to put the animal down? What do you think?
What do you mean, take animal life?
You know, when an animal, let's say, is very sick,
mm-hmm.
and they suffer a lot, and a veterinarian will put that animal down. So, is it a right action or not?
You have to put that into right intentions. What is your intentions?
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
That's related to the intention.
Yeah.
Because so that's why I say that Buddhism intention is very important. What is your intent in your heart? What's your intention? You put that because you want to kill that. With your crew, you enjoy that. But because you see the animal suffering, you feel so painful, you couldn't stand that. Because, and then you know that the animal, even he or she, the animal cannot stay very long. So you don't want it to suffer, so the veteran have to give it a shot to end the life. But their incentive is like compassion. They couldn't stand to see that, the suffering of the animal. So their intention is different. But so if you put incentive to kill animal to your joy, you know, just to revenge, then it's different intention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's all whatever we do is going back to our intentions, you know. So kindness is also based on your intentions. So if your action is seem like kindness, but your intention is different. Internally, you know that nobody know how your intention is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people pretend to be generosity or pretend to be loving, but in their hearts, they do that to revenge, to retaliate. And internally, they will generate the suffering in your own heart when you have that kind of intentions. And the next one is like sexual misconduct is like actions, you know, the right actions. And I think that's very important in our society today, especially young children. It's happened in the time of the Buddha, and it happened. It's timeless. You know? And when we have sexual misconduct, it creates a lot of suffering for oneself, and that's related to renunciation of sensual pleasures. How that related to that? So that's why renunciation of sensual pleasures is very important in the practice of solidarity or to be celibate. Yeah. It's very important for practice and celibate. And then we go into the right livelihood.
Mm-hmm. And this is very must relate to our everyday life.
What kind of work you do and to nourish the bodhicitta? To generate the work for the people around. And monastics, they have their own livelihood, but, you know, lay also. You know, during the time of the Buddha, all the monks, monastics go out begging. There's never cooks. Yeah, they don't have stove. But nowadays we have to cook. I'm here, I have to cook for myself. So it's different environment, different situations. And other countries, like they sell weapon, you know, that is not the relative to, you know, one, for example, if we, United States, we produce weapon and sell to the third world country. And that's based on the other people ignorance, you know, because they buy the weapon and kill each other's, and based on that ignorance, and it's kill many life, taking many life. And then we go into the next one, is like right concentrations on the right efforts. And you make your efforts to purify your own your actions and do the wholesome things. The efforts to do that. So always we, the practice, we have to make the right effort in our practice too, you know, in order to generate the right fruit, the right result. And we go into the right mindfulness, and last time we go very much detail on the body, feeling, mind, and Dharma. So practice for that, you know, last time. When we talk about mindfulness, I go very detail on that. So mindfulness on the body, mindfulness on the feelings, mindfulness on the mind and objects of the mind is all the things around you. So, and then we go into the right concentrations. So concentration that you can generate the joys, the fruit of joys, and the fruits of letting go. So I just want to, that's very brief, to wrap up the Eightfold Path. So any, do you have any other questions? And now is my next one, is I want to ask you. So we already go very detailed on some of the the Eightfold Path and the practice, the body, mind, continent, and the object of the mind. So my question for you is, how do you bring the teachings of Eightfold Path in your workplace, in your everyday life? And I think that's an individual practice, you know, when we talk generally, and then how do you apply that in your workplace, in your family atmospheres? How do we do that? How do you do that? Because here everyone of us is have an individual life, and the teaching of the Eightfold Path is the teaching of to bring that and apply that in our everyday life. So I want to ask you, just each of one of you give me one example, or how do you do that? So and is there any difficulty that you apply? When you apply this, there should be some difficulties, and that's okay. And we can look together to look into that, and so that we can make the practice practical in our life. We don't talk in something that we talk, we should apply it, so we don't waste our time. Okay. Mm-hmm. So thank you for your listenings and for sharing. So we invite to sound the bell, so we conclude our study here.